The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
All right, there you go. That was a brand new sneak peek track from The Pain Method. The song was called Bludgeoned right here on Radio Memphis. And you guys, you've heard me talk about The Pain Method. You've also heard me catch up with none other than Mr. Rob Machete. Well, this is part of his brand new band, okay? They're just getting done up in the studio. They're getting done shooting some videos. You're going to hear a lot of really crazy cool things, and you're going to hear little snippets of music, videos, and things like that that's going to drop. And of course, they're going to come full-fledged at the beginning of the year. And joining him is Jonathan Rosero on rhythm guitar backing vocals, Jason Tretzer on lead guitar, Will Winton on bass backing vocals, and none other than Mr. Rob Yules on drums. And of course, those of you who may, you may know him, you may not know him, depending upon what was, where you know him from. But if you know, just so you guys have an understanding, he is actually also known as a pro bodybuilder. He's appeared on Saturday Night Live. He's done Late Night with Conan O'Brien. Guiding Light has done voice work for the Grand Theft Audio video game series. He's modeled for Vogue, Muscle and Fitness, and of course, including doing two covers. Of course, you know, he's actually had supporting roles, you know, in a couple of indie films and stuff like Meet My Boyfriend. He's also, you know, done, you know, and appeared in what's considered The Sitter. He's actually done some really, really cool stuff, you know, along with, you know, being a personal trainer, along with, you know, kind of being somewhat of a consultant. And of course, as he likes to tell everybody, somewhat of a conversationalist. And so I thought it would be fantastic, you know, as we learn more about The Pain Method, that we actually get to, you know some of the guys that are behind the scenes on drums, you know, and things like that. And he's a drummer. I mean, I gotta talk to him.
I know you have a thing for drummers.
I have a thing for drummers. Everybody knows this.
Yes, there's no denying.
That's, well, whatever, you know. And the way, and you know, it's really funny because I got to catch up with him on the phone, last night for a little bit, and we're already screaming, you know. And so I already know that this is going to go well. But what I'm going to do is I actually have him on the phone.
Really?
I do. I know. I waste no time. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Rob in. How are you doing, darling?
Hello.
Hey, honey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm listening to the lead in. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? He sounds like a pretty cool guy. I'm like, oh, wait, talking about me.
It is. You are very cool.
Okay, I did do that. Didn't I? Yeah, I did that show. Wow. All right, cool.
Yeah, so, you've done a
how's
lot.
How's everyone out there doing? Hope everyone's well.
Everybody is fantastic. Of course, you know, you're hanging out with me, of course, D. And I've got Phil Berger, who's also, you know, one of my sidekicks and stuff. He does prog time and he hangs out with me sometimes on Metal Mondays.
Awesome. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Yeah. So, and you know, what's funny is that we led the beginning of prog time. Can you hear me, sweetie? Hello.
All right, yeah. It cuts out every so often. I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, I know. Apparently, this has been kind of a thing that's been happening, and I feel like I need to get something checked. I started... Stop it, Phil.
No comment?
I just, you know, you whatever. You can comment all you want to, sweetheart. It's all good. I just... I need things checked, and I do. I get that.
We started early tonight.
We started with a song from Shadow Gallery, and we did it in your honor, because I did find out that as a young person, you took drum lessons from Joe Nivola.
I did. I was 17, and I was like, speed metal, and he was a dude, and I was like, Dave Lombardo, Slayer, whatever, and kind of wanted to branch out and expand my skill set, and he came really highly recommended, and he used to teach at this place called Backstage, and it was like he'd rent a rehearsal room. Yep. And you know, he'd have like 9 students in a day, and depending on where you landed in that day, he was, you know, at various states of frazzled. So if you were like the last guy, he'd be like looking for his glasses and they're on his head. He was amazing drummer. He definitely expanded my skill set, like I helped. Great guy. So he's, I don't even know what he's up to lately. I haven't spoken to him in 20 years. So
yeah,
he's playing on that.
Mm-hmm. He is awesome.
Check it out.
You need to. And see, and I guess, you know, sweetheart, I guess that's the thing, because, you know, looking at some of the stuff, and again, you're a pro bodybuilder, you do all these amazing things, you know. It was hard for me, and I'm gonna make this joke now. I was trying to find some cool pictures of you with you not in underwear, okay? All right, so I'm just gonna tell you now, you know, and it was
one.
She saved up in underwear for herself.
Lucky this is radio, because I'm pink right now. know. that's kind of a thing. I think I was telling you last night, my sister, who I am very close with,
yes.
Every time I go visit her in Florida, we go to like Wing House or something like that, and every time I go to the bathroom, I'll come back and she's, you know, showing whatever the waitress is. And I mean, my brother, and I get like a look of the waitress who looks at me, and I'm like, what? Not again.
No. They're looking
at me. There's a lot of pictures of me in various states of undress. I always had a rule, like, if my mom couldn't see it, I wouldn't do it, but
everything was tasteful, but you know, with that being said, it's so funny because you've done all of these cool things, and you know, you've done the fitness modeling, and you know, and you've done the, you know, the training here, you know, you're on Muscle Fitness, you know, magazine, you know, you've done all these cool things, but there's this whole layer of you musically, and that was my thing that I was really trying to crack at, you know, and when I saw that, you know, at a very young age. Now don't think for 2 seconds, because I'm really good. If you have figured, Rob, anything about me, I stalk, I find out information. There is a picture of you. Okay, I can't remember the chick's name. She's got you tagged in it, but it's like she's your best friend. She posted it because it was like a 20-year-later picture. The picture of you, you already know where I'm going with this. You're like this thin, skinny dude with long, like, you look like a heavy metal rocker dude with the hair on back, the hat on backwards. I saw that and I was like, oh my God, that's him. Holy smokes. That is you.
It's the first time I'm thinking, my friend Heather. I've been friends with her since our first, I was in a band called Soundstorm.
Yes.
I was 17. We did a photo shoot, and it happened to be near Burger King. And she worked at Burger King. So me and her got to be friends. And she posted a picture of me Rapunzel hair. Mm-hmm. And I have a shirt on. It's got the Mickey Mouse on it, and he's wearing a Christmas hat. It says, "Just Say Ho."
Yes. Hey, you look the part, though. I was like, dude, he's a heavy metal rocker dude. Oh, my God. This is really who you are. You're not the bodybuilder dude. You're the music nerd, rock out, hair down to your ass. That's who you really are. You know that, right?
Yeah, I guess, you know. I mean, it's funny. I got into competing when I got a little bit older. You know, I started to, you know, I was in my like late 30s, I started being able to put weight on a little bit. You know, I would go to the gym here and there, but I kind of got into it a lot more. And I don't know, I met a guy who wanted me to compete as a coach.
Oh God!
And okay. Maz Ali, he's like a big promoter in New Jersey, and he's whatever. So he got me to do it. I never really thought I was set out to do that, but I'm the kind of person, when I do something, if I do well at it, I want to see how well I can do.
Right.
So there you go. It doesn't matter if it's drumming or bodybuilding or whatever.
Right.
So,
no, I appreciate it. Here we are. Look, I appreciate, you know, what it is that you put into something, because you, again, you've put in such an effort, you know, as far as with your drumming career. You've been doing it for 30 plus years. And yes, you jumped into, you know, the bodybuilding, you know, up into the point where, you know, you're an IFBB, you know, pro bodybuilder. You know, you've got your card, you've got it all, you know, and you're able to do that. And then on top of that, you wind up kind of slipping into doing some acting and stuff as well, and during this entire time, you've always been in some band, you know what I mean? So it's not like
there's like a short period of time where I wasn't. It's kind of funny because I would kind of like, I would. It takes so much focus to compete that I would kind of like, you know, if the band I was in broke up, I wasn't like, you know, dying to find other people to play with or this or that or whatever.
Right.
I haven't played in a while. And I ran into a guy I knew, Tim McMurtry, and he was like, "We got to do something musical." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I'm kind of dying to do something again." And we started writing some songs, and that ended up being Full Scale Riot. And I never met and said it before.
Right.
But he moved back up from Florida, and before I knew it, you know, it's funny, like our first day, I was already like competing and whatever, and he comes in, and we're like two pit bulls kind of sniffing each other a little bit, like, you know, feel each other out, you know, a little like, dual alpha male thing going on. And it didn't take long until we got to be really good friends. And you know, he's a great dude. And he ended up it got to the point where, you know, just we parted ways as far as him and Tim weren't seeing eye to eye and stuff, and I wasn't really going to stick around without him.
Right.
He yelled so well musically, so he ended up doing the Generation Kill thing without me.
Right.
And you know, at a certain point, he just kind of let me know things weren't working out with their drummer, and he was like, you know, get the kitty litter out of your kick drums, man. Let's get rolling. So
yeah,
here we are. We ended up writing a lot of music together, and you know, it just worked out that way. So
that's perfect, and that's perfect.
But yeah, I've always it sees a different side of me. Like, you know, competing, there's a certain amount of discipline and focus and, you know, you put this in, you get that out kind of a mentality. But sure. It feeds a different part of my soul than the music does. You know, music, the creativity and the discharge of energy. Like, I don't think there's anything I do in my life that makes me feel the way I do. Like, getting off stage after a great show,
wow,
I feel like I'm doing exactly what I was meant to do when I was put on this planet. That's what I feel like. Hands down, that's what I was meant to be doing, you know, so.
Wow. Wow. How insane is that? I mean, you know, music does that. So just out of curiosity, I mean, you know, mind you, you know, I looked at some of the stuff. And of course, you know, you talk about, you know, some of the influences and stuff like that, you know, from, you know, your influences with drums. I mean, you've actually quoted Dave Lombardo, you know, being one.
Okay. He broke up on me. Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello.
Are we there?
I'm here. Are you?
Yeah, I missed you. You said I quote.
I said yes. You quoted Dave Lombardo being an influence.
Yes.
Herb, you know, Alexander, you know, Primus, you know, Dana Carey, Tool.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff is so.
Yeah, yeah.
Has you know, style of music for you. You know, what's you know, what's your background? You know, for the most part.
I mean, just kind of
listen
to the who's who. I think probably around the time when I started taking lessons from Joe is when I started kind of getting into. You know, Primus and I was listening to some Zappa then, and Terry Bozzio was, I felt, amazing.
Good for you.
And just to, you know, as a kid who, you know, when I first started playing, I mean, Zeppelin and you know, all the classics, I was like, you know, enthralled with all that. And I think, I don't know, I mean, Sabbath, but I think when I first heard Metallica, I was like, wait a minute, what is this? This is something different. And then when I heard the first time, I think the first Slayer record I heard something off Rain and Blood.
Of course.
I was fucking done. That was it. For, I think from 14 to like 17, that's kind of all I did, was learn Slayer stuff and, you know, try to play as fast as I could and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I started getting into Primus and studying with Joe and listening to other styles. I wanted to like jazz. I went there like, yeah, I want to learn jazz. He was like,
well, it's just cool. I think that's fantastic.
Near Ray. I was like, yeah. You're so hyper and so on top of the beat and so like that. You know, he's like, let's like work on some funk stuff. Because you could kind of still be peppy. You know, he's like, you need to like, I don't know. Like, heavily medicated before we start talking about jazz kind of a thing. So,
well, that's cool though. That's cool though. Because see, I mean, that's what got to me when I was looking at your drum stuff and I saw this thing with jazz that you started trying to look at people that were doing jazz. I was like, well, that's cool. So ultimately you're a closet prog head.
Well, I I appreciate it. And I think I went through more of a phase where, you know, if I didn't understand, like I was in the city, I was in New York and I was with, you know, I was there for something and I kind of wandered by someplace. We stopped in for a drink. I was probably 22. And I saw a jazz trio in there. And this guy had, like, a snare, a kick, a hi-hat, and a drink. And that was it.
Perfect.
The stuff he was doing with that, I was playing the Starship drums. Yeah, with, like, toms everywhere, kick drums, and, you know, whatever, blah, 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 whatever. And he had this little tiny rig, and he was killing it. And I was like, this is amazing. And, you know, it made me want to kind of explore some new stuff. Now, I'm going to, you know, I still don't play jazz, you know, and I still am just as amazed by it.
Love it.
Sorry, I'm way too hyper, way too on that, you know, to you know, get, you know, mellow out enough to jazz, but, you know, maybe someday, you know, maybe I'll.
I might be able to work it out, you know, at some point.
At some point, you know, maybe I'll, you know, but I don't. You know, like, that's one of the reasons why in Tangeria, I thought Kenny Shoff is amazing. And I was like, you know, he could, you know, the heaviest, coolest, catchiest, off-time shit, and then bust into, you know, like, a jazz thing. And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Kind of enthralled with that for a while. That was kind of another thing that was kind of mental about me a little bit. But, again, still, I don't claim to be a jazz drummer at all.
Well, that's okay, but again, it you know, it's influenced you at some point, you know?
Yeah.
And those of you
I mean, the idea to kind of like expand my idea of, you know, rhythmic phrasing and stuff like that. And
yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And those of you who tuned in, I'm talking to Mr. Rob Ewells, who is the drummer for the Pain Method. You know, honey, you're like, what's up? I love it. Listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop down. I'm going to take a commercial break. I got to catch a word from our friends in FSN. I'm going to play another Pain Method song, okay, for everybody. So I don't want you to go anywhere, because when we come back out of the break and out of the song, we're going to talk. We're going to go in a little bit more depth, you know, as far as, you know, what you got going on with the band now. But I'm also going to start digging, you know, kind of like into some of your sordid past, because you and I. you thought you were getting off.
You shocked you last night.
You already know where I'm going with this, and I want to talk. I want to talk about that.
We can talk.
You know, because it's a man woman thing. It's a relationship thing, and it's, you know, and it's still not old. It's still new news. I don't care how. We need to talk about that, because apparently there were some things on your mind.
I've been called a lot of things in my life, and every one of them. So we talk about what it's going on.
Oh my God, he's such a, okay, he's making me a sucker. You rock. Listen, hold tight for me, baby. Don't go anywhere, okay?
All right.
Okay. Those of you that are tuned in, you're hanging out with us right here in Memphis Metal Mondays. We're having a very fun conversation with Mr. Rob Ewells. And so just so that Phil understands where we're going with this, so I was stalking him, right?
Of course you were.
Of course I was. You know, and so when I was stalking him, the very first, and it wasn't hard, because it was like the first thing I found, you know, was an article that he wrote about 50 Shades of Grey. So we're just going to leave it right there.
Okay.
And I'm going to take this commercial break and take a quick word from my friends.
While you were reading this article, were you also looking at pictures of him in his underwear?
You know what? Pictures of him in his underwear were all over the place anyway.
Well, I'm not asking if they
were. It wasn't like I was, I didn't have to go looking for them. They were just there.
If I was a lawyer, I could pick your defense apart right now.
I understand that. And since you are not a lawyer, it's a good thing, because the picture of him somewhat in his underwear was probably right next to the article. So, I mean, that's almost like entrapment. All right. So for those of you that are hanging out, again, here's a quick word from our friends in FSN. And we got a little more Rob Ewells for you after this right here only on Radio Memphis. That's some more of the Pain Method for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning to Memphis Metal Mondays with me, Dirty D. The song is called Middleman. Hanging out with my whole host, Mr. Phil Berger. And as speaking of the Pain Method, everybody's hanging out. We see a couple of people in the chat room hanging out. And they're hanging out because we are talking to the drummer of that outfit, Mr. Rob Ewells. How you doing, baby?
Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land.
Man, what's I tell you, you know, Middleman, you know, that song right there, man, that is one intense, intense song. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate the commentary. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites on the new record myself, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, I mean, as we were doing it, I kind of, at a certain point, I kind of realized how epic. I mean, just when it was music, it was coming out really epic. And when Rob started, you know, coming up with vocal ideas and we started going over some lyrics and stuff, I was just, you know, as it started to get pieced together, I was kind of, you know, the Lord's Prayer thing at the end is like a chilling moment for me, but
it's huge. You know,
I hope everyone else out there appreciates it too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and it's got a very direct message, you know, melodically and everything. It's done, you know, it's done perfectly, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And it's just one of those, it's a throat grabber. And that's the best way I could sit there and just, it makes you just kind of go, you know, and you lose your breath for a second. So good stuff.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, you know, we're sitting here on Memphis Metal Mondays right here at Radio Memphis, you know, we're getting to know you a little bit, you know, and of course, you know, with the beautiful thing for me is that amidst all of the other crazy cool activities that you have going on in your world, you know, in all the different careers and stuff like that, you know, the music is such a huge part of what you do, and you know, and it's very important, and the creativeness, you know, is very obvious, and I always think that when I was looking over some of your stuff, man, I get the idea that sometimes people kind of overlook that idea, you know, because they see you, you know, for being an actor, and they see you for, you know, being, you know, a bodybuilder, and they see you for doing a training and being a coach and stuff. And I told you last night We're going straight into this. You know, I've already talked to legal counsel and stuff like that, so that I'm not, you know, it's all good.
All right, I
take pride in what I do, you know, because I'm a fantastic stalker. When I got to find out some information, man, I know where to go, you know. But this was so easy when I was typing in some stuff, man. I sat there and I was like, okay, let me find out a little bit about him, you know, kind of get some of his music and stuff. And it was like second page, and it was like, you know, Rob Buell's, you know, discusses, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, and I was like, what? What is it? And it was supposed to be from, like, you know, muscularandevelopment.com, you know, and it was like,
yep.
Oh, okay, well, I'm misreading this. Okay, I'm totally misreading this.
You would think, wouldn't you?
I would. I'm sorry, I'm a woman, okay? It said 50 Shades of Grey, and so I clicked it.
Do you have a pumpkin spice
latte sitting here? Yes, I have a pumpkin spice latte. No, my hair is not in a ponytail, and no, I'm not wearing yoga pants. I clicked it, okay?
I like to tackle the hard-hitting subject matter, that's all. So.
Well, you know, actually, so I read the article. Of course I did. And
she didn't look at the pictures at all.
I didn't look at the pictures. No, I didn't look at any of those. You know, I was very interested in the literal contents of what was being said. And so that being said, you know, he had a cool outfit on. But anyways, you wrote an article, and what was really funny is that it gave me insight on kind of who you were. You know, believe it or not. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear who I am.
According to me, I mean, this is what I'm thinking.
No, I'm dying to hear what your take is on it.
Well, you start out this particular post, and it was during that time period, obviously, that 50 Shades of Grey had come out and stuff, and you had made the comment in the beginning that you couldn't turn around, you know, without it coming up. And actually, the first time it came across your ears is when you went to go get your hair cut. And everybody was all hot and bothered, and everybody was all crazy over it. And in fact, you started hearing more and more about it. In fact, one of your buddies who was a cop, you know, had even told you that, you know, his wife of 20 years all of a sudden was sending him messages to come home for a lunch quickie. And so you start absorbing all of this. And, you know, and at first, when I first started reading the post and started reading the article, you know, on the site, and I thought, oh my God, this is going south. We're supposed to be looking, you know, thinking about like leg presses and stuff, man. This is a different leg press, you know, right? And then you go into a very cool thing. Hello?
Can you cut out on me.
I'm sorry, baby. I'll have to get this checked out. But you went into a very cool thing about relationships. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you went into a very cool thing on, you know, when everybody, you know, how everybody can be inspired. You know what I mean? And you're talking about love, and you're talking about being connected, and, you know, not for, you know, lack of better terms, you know, convenience or whatever. But, you know, the true thing, and the more I read it, I was like, oh my God, I like him.
You're like, oh my God, he's a pussy.
No, I did not say that. Hey, you have, stop it, Rob. I said you had feelings. And that comes from a very creative person. Okay. That's the whole point. And then I figured out you started, you know, you do a lot of writing, you know what I mean? And you were taking the outlet from, you know, the workout sessions and stuff, and some of these cool places that had actually contracted you to do some posts and some blogs and stuff. And you started expressing yourself and going, hey man, look, let's talk about something other than leg presses. Let me tell you what's wrong here. And I got to know you a little bit. And it was one of those things where was that by design? Was that on purpose that you started doing those things?
Well, you know, I got the contract for muscular development. It was my ascension into the pro ranks of bodybuilding, and they signed me up. And I guess, you know, I had a Facebook blog. Believe it or not, it started out on MySpace, and I would just write whatever the hell kind of crazy shit was rattling around in my head.
Right.
And you know, I sent my editor a couple things, you know, because part of my contract was to write a blog. Or something, you know, and I sent him a couple examples of my writing, and he was like, could you do this every week? And I'm like, I could probably do this every fucking day.
Right.
If you really want me to.
Right.
So he goes, because, you know, I mean, they have enough stuff on there about, you know, rep ranges and different techniques for muscle hypertrophy and all this other stuff. So, you know, he said, if you can at least try to, you know, bring it back to the fitness industry somehow, So initially, a lot of the stuff I wrote, I would, you know, it would be something about something that happened in the gym, or I would kind of bring it in there somehow, but eventually I just started writing whatever the hell I wanted to write, and that article was definitely one of those kind of things. And, you know, you're right, it was kind of a, I just see, you know, they were talking about banning it in libraries and stuff like that, and, you know, one of my points in it was, yes, it can inspire people, you know, and I think some of the fear was that it's going to inspire people to do, like, people think that media inspires people to do things. So,
right.
You know, they think violent video games are going to inspire violent acts. And,
right.
You know, I feel like, you know, if I'm if I'm watching a cooking show, it's not outside the realm of possibility that I'm going to get hungry. And I might possibly want to eat whatever's on the show. But if I watch a zombie film and it makes me want to kill people and eat their brains, probably I had some more problems before I watched the zombie movie than, you know, I probably need some more, you know, whatever, to look at some other stuff, get some stuff checked out, as you said earlier in the show.
Of course.
So, what I felt like, you know, we're not talking about sex offenders and you know, sexual assault. We're talking about two consenting adults exploring intimacy and exploring different types of sexual relationship,
yep,
role reversals and stuff like that.
Yep, yep.
And you know, it seems like that kind of topic, when you're that open with someone and you're exploring stuff like that, it can foster a deeper intimacy and therefore, to me, a closer relationship. And you know, I mean, like, yep. I said, if a guy after 20 years of marriage, all of a sudden he's having nooners with his wife.
That's awesome.
That's a good thing.
Oh, my, know? God. It's what you talk. That's fantastic. That's so cool. And that, I think, you know, and again, I mean, all kidding aside, yeah, like I said, it was a well done article. It was a well done blog, because you did go into the media stuff, and it was like, look, you know, if these things are going to affect you in this manner, then okay, you know, whatever. But, you know, here's the thing, you know, and it's everybody having an opinion. And of course, like I said, yeah, it opened it up, and I wound up reading other blogs and other stuff. And you always started out with the workout thing, then you went into something else, and I was like, man, you're trying to grab people. You know what I mean?
Part of it was to try to get me to get the audience to get to know me, get the fans of the sport and fans of different athletes. Because in a way, you know, bodybuilding as a sport is almost, I mean, you know, you're a personality too, and to develop your quote-unquote brand, people got to get to know you. And you know, the stereotypical I pick things up and put them down thing, mm-hmm, is, it can be difficult to overcome. So what better way to do that than to write an arc? Like, they would film me training, and 90% of it would be me making jokes and laughing. I mean, yeah, I would be putting the work in. Obviously, you can't compete at that level if you're not putting the work in. But,
right,
you know, I would try to be entertaining as well. And, you know, as long as I had the energy to do it, because when you get that close into a contest, you know, you really don't even have the energy to laugh anymore. So,
oh well, no,
I did my best, but
you did great.
I think that one of the things, like, you know, as far as music goes, too, people are thinking like a certain kind of music is going to cause someone to kill themselves or to injure other people, or you know, I think if you're injuring people, you had other problems before you were listening to a song.
Yes,
you know, obviously.
Yes,
I don't think you can blame music for anyone's mental illness. So, I mean, there's people that watch horror movies, and it's just entertainment, you know. But if you're taking it to a level where you want to imitate what you're seeing, well, you know, you probably needed some kind of an intervention before that even happened.
Absolutely. So. And this just let everybody know. You mentioned, you know, and those of you that are tuned in, we're talking to Rob Ewells right here on Memphis Metal Mondays. You had mentioned, you know, your brand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you say that, you know, just out of curiosity, and the reason why I bring this up is because, you know, not only do we have a ton of people that love to listen, you know, we got musicians, we got artists, you know, we got people that, you know, represent something, you know, and so when you say your brand, you know, what does that mean to you?
Oh, you're breaking up on me again.
No, that's okay. When you say your brand, what is your brand? What does that mean to you? What does the word brand mean to you?
Well, I mean, to me, it's really just, you know, if you have any kind of relationship with the public, or your career depends on their perception of you, that's really what, to me, that's what your brand is. That's what's your, for lack of a better word, that's what you're selling. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And if you're, you know, if you're, I mean, listen, if you're an athlete, you're selling being good at the sport that you're doing, but you know, there's a certain amount of marketability that goes with that.
Well, sure.
So as a competitive bodybuilder, unless you're in the top five of the world, you're not really making much of a living from winning shows. But if you're branding yourself and people, they like what you're about and they like the message that you're putting out there and they follow your social media and they like to read the articles that you're writing, or, you know, if you're in a band and they connect with the music, they connect with the image, they connect with the brand. That, to me, that's what the brand is. It's how you're speaking to your audience. It's how you're relating to them.
Perfect.
And I think that's as important as anything else. You know, it's as important as the music is. I mean, you can write great music, but if it's represent, you know, if for lack of a better word, image.
Yes.
You know, I mean, people like to say image, you know, Metallica didn't have a quote-unquote image, but that was their image.
It was.
You know, they were dressed just like the kids that were in the audience that watched them, mm-hmm. so they could relate to them. Mm-hmm. So they felt like, to a point, like, hey, that could be me up there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you are correct. And I'm glad you said it like that, you know, because there's a lot of different things that you do, you know what I mean? And so you work hard on that. Just out of curiosity, how did getting into some, you know, Saturday Night Live, how did all that happen?
All right. It was 2004. I was doing my first NPC National Bodybuilding Show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had kind of just been competing for about a year, and I knew I wasn't really going to do well competitively. Like, I wasn't going to place well, but my coach said, you know, you got a marketable look. When you get there, you know, hopefully you'll get some work out of it.
Okay.
And I met Adam Silver, who was interviewing for Repotrope and stuff like that, and he liked my look. So he owns Silver Models, which is also kind of a talent agency, so forth. He's actually, coincidentally, the person who shot the video for Gone for Good last Sunday for the Pain Method.
How fun. Very
which
cool.
Which will be done soon, hopefully.
Very cool.
So, you know, he started getting together the brand, I guess. So, you know, getting some pictures of you and stuff like that, and I started auditioning for stuff. And I guess because without that being too stereotypical, there's a certain amount of people that, you know, you either have the look or you have the, you know, have the personality or you have the, so if you kind of can get a little bit of a mixture of both.
Yep.
To where you're easy to work with, you know, you can kind of do the dance they want you to do when they want you to do it, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right, right.
So I started doing some work for muscle and fitness that way because, you know, I was there, I was in shape, that, you know, I was easy for them to work with. So,
sure.
You know, they kept using me over and over again. And I think the first... There was a Gays in Space episode for Saturday Night Live, and they were looking for, it's on, you can look it up on the internet. Jason Bateman was the captain of this gay Star Trek kind of ship.
I don't remember this. This is awesome.
And I guess the guy who wrote it, you know, he was looking for someone, I guess, who looked like me. So,
you know, imagine that. If
they're kind of doing their little witty, gay put down humor at each other and stuff like that, calling each other bitch and stuff like that. And they get hailed by an oncoming spaceship. You know, they're like, oh, you know, put them on the screen. And it's Loretta. It's the lesbian chick. You know, the barbed wire tattoos and the sleeveless flannel and the mullets. And, you know, they're like, you know, good to see you, you know, whatever. What can we help you with? So she's like, well, our species is dwindling. We need sperm. She goes, well, you know, we love when you move, we like to check out your hate your music, but, you know, the sex thing, we're not feeling it. So, well, we created the XT-1000 donation enhancement unit. We'll send it over. We'll take a look. So the doorbell rings, and walks me in, like, silver biker shorts and, you know, whatever. So,
of course.
The funny story behind that, we had to do that skit, I don't know, 20 times. So, you know, the first couple days you're doing is just kind of run through. Then the day before, you're doing it kind of verbatim what they're going to end up airing. The night of the show, they do a whole episode they do 2 hours for a studio audience that's not being aired.
Oh, okay.
So they cut a half hour that doesn't work, and, you know, then the rest is aired. So for the dress rehearsal in front of the audience, they want you not to laugh. That's the whole thing with that show. You can't laugh. There's a long-standing tradition of not laughing. So,
okay. Well, how does that work?
Well, as you've seen the show, it doesn't always work. But that's what makes it funny. If they're trying not to laugh, then it's hilarious. But if you're allowed to laugh, then everyone would just be cracking up the whole time, and it wouldn't be able to be taken seriously. So,
of course.
So Jason Bateman looks at me and goes, I'm going to make you laugh. Because you heard him go, listen, you can't laugh. Don't laugh. Whatever he says, don't laugh. He's like, he looks at me, he's like, I'm going to make you laugh. So we did the thing, and he didn't make me laugh for the studio audience because, you know, whatever. But he's a pretty good improv guy. So I don't know if he saved this for going on the air, but you know, the bell rings, I walk in, and they're all fawning. Oh my God, those girls are so good with tools and whatever. So he looks at me and goes, all right, fire up the thrusters, boys. Next stop, and he looks at me and goes, Uranus. And I was like, that's it. I cracked the blast.
Oh my God.
He's like, I knew I'd get you. I was like, yeah, a little backstage humor.
That's okay. But
yeah, I mean, that's how it started. And once I had a couple things like that, it just kind of snowballed a little bit.
Yeah. Rob, it's so funny. So, you know, like I said, music career, you've got your bodybuilding, you do some acting, you know, you do this, you know, you also do personal training and everything. How do you juggle all of this, man?
I kind of go through phases where certain things come into focus more.
Okay.
And other things kind of have to eat, because I can't focus on everything 100%. So, you know, I've been eating, breathing, sleeping, pain method for, you know, the last, I don't know, maybe three, four months, I guess.
Perfect.
We recorded the record. Mm-hmm. We, you know, mixed it, you know, getting it mastered now. We're getting into rehearsals for the live show. I think our first rehearsal is going to be Saturday. So,
perfect.
That should be great.
Nice.
But that's how it kind of works for me. If I decide to compete again, it would definitely be challenging for me to go do a show, do a competition, and still be able to focus on the music and stuff like that. So,
right.
I mean, I've done it, but it definitely takes a certain amount of, I don't know.
Time
management, a lot of like killing two birds with one stone kind of thing.
At the same token, I think that there's a little more direct focus on all sides this go around. You know, because pain method, I mean, like I said, it's coming out strong. You know, it's a little bit different than what any of you guys have done up until this point.
I'll agree with you there. I think it's because me and Rob really kind of laser focused on everything. It seems like it's a little less, I don't want to say diluted, but I'll say diluted. Yeah. There's less personalities involved in it from the get-go, so it seems like it's a lot more, you know, we kind of had a vision and it was very similar.
I got you.
You know, and there's times when, you know, I'm starting a sentence and he's finishing it. Like, it's funny because a lot of the creative direction, some of this was done, you know, we'd have these early morning phone conversations sometimes, and I'd be like, well, what if we did it? Oh, yeah, and then, you know, we're back and forth, and, you know, he's finishing my sentence. Oh, yeah, we could say that, and, you know, and it turns into this. Once you hear it, I'm like, oh my God, I can tell you where I was
when
that particular line for this particular song came out. So it's kind of cool. So that's, I think, what you're probably sensing. It's just really...
I am.
Well, like, we thought it out really well. And that combined with just the creative juices that were flowing.
It's
kind of lightning in a bottle almost, you know?
It is. I mean, you know, there's such a thing as soulmates in music. You know that, right?
I think I got a taste of that when me and him were in Full Scale Ride together, because we gelled so well. And he even said, he goes, you know, I always knew we'd end up doing something together again. And, you know, I loved his voice then, and I don't think he really did much singing since then. And I'd be like, dude, you got to sing again. He'd be like, I don't know. So here we are.
And here we go.
That's the joke. Here we go. Like, a lot of times the phone will ring, and then either I'm calling him or he's calling me, and the answer is, here we go.
Yeah. Now up next. I am so thrilled. I am so thrilled with the progression, you know, of the band and the progression of what you guys have going on.
I'm fine. Excellent.
I'm glad
you get it. You know what I mean?
I do. You know, sweetheart, you yourself, you know, you again, you know, and I go back to all the different things, and I only wanted to touch base on a couple of things. It wasn't like I wanted to dive in and, like, you know, totally dig. I'm not going to do that to you first go around. Second time you come back.
So right now, this is just the getting to know me phase.
It is.
Next time you're going to be asking me all kinds of really deep.
Absolutely. You know, this is where we kind of, you know, you kind of go around the pike, you kind of sniff on each other a little bit, bat the eyelashes, all that good stuff. Next time we're going in for the kill. But I tell you though, there are, you know, there's so many people that would look to you because of all the cool things that you've done, you know. And if somebody were to come to you and say, how can I do what you're doing, even just musically? I mean, what advice are you giving somebody?
Be consistent. You know, pick a lane and be consistent and show up. And no matter what, just do your best to be the best, put your best foot forward in every, even if it's not, if you fall short, don't give up, don't stop. You know, I mean, as a drummer, you know, there's times when I've, you know, you get an off minute or something like that, you know, like the first time you're going in for a track or something like that, and you get like a weird vibe at first or something, and you know, you just got to, you know, trust that you're in the right place doing the right thing,
right,
and be consistent. You know, whatever it is that you want to do, I mean, I really believe that if you really want it bad enough, you'll put the work in it and beat it to death until you're really friggin' good at it.
There
you
it
know,
is.
Like, a lot of people give up before the magic happens, and, you know, they're not willing to put the work into it to get what, you know, you kind of get out what you put in.
There it is.
You know, like, Machete's a great example. His work ethic is sick. You know, he's not reading his lyrics off the floor, or you know, he's not he knows exactly what he's going to do. By the time we're in the studio and the mic's in front of him, all right, stop, we're going to do that, we're going back, I'm going to lay this harmony over it. He knows where he wants to play stuff, and you know, it's not just because he just wakes up magically knowing what he's going to do. I mean, right. He's thinking about it. He's, you know, I mean, that's kind of what I do. I'm listening, I'm thinking. I think half this record was written on my steering wheel in my truck. You know,
perfect.
As I'm driving around doing stuff, oh no, I can do that here. Rewind it. No, it'll be cool if I, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And
right.
Whatever it is, if it's bodybuilding, if it's whatever it is, if you want to be great at it, you got to put the work into it, and don't give up, because you know, every failure is just like one that one time you got to get back up again. You know, they say fall down 9 times, get up 10.
Sure.
You know, so that's the key to anything. I feel like I've attained any success at. It's just I wasn't always great at everything I tried to do, so I didn't stop until I felt like I was, you know.
Until you were good.
Like, I don't even care, you know. I'm glad that you get it, mm-hmm. but as you're doing this stuff and you're putting the work into it, and you know, you kind of got your eyes on the prize. You kind of you look up and you're like, God, I hope everyone gets this, because. You know,
it's tough. It is tough, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, you're going to show up and everybody's going to think that this was like an overnight thing. It's like, you got that body you got, you know, everybody thinks it happened overnight, you know, I know that it didn't, you know,
no, it doesn't happen overnight for sure.
No, and you know,
I mean, there's no supplement you take. There's no shortcuts. There's no. I mean, anybody that's listening out there that's in the fitness industry, they know how much work goes into it, especially by the time you get on stage, all the cardio and the, mm-hmm. you know, not eating what you want to eat, and eating all this stuff you don't really want to eat, and, you know, manipulating your water, and it's a lot of work. And I mean, you know.
And that's the same thing with the music, though. That what you just described is the same thing, you know?
I mean, I think, honestly, I learned a lot from being involved in bodybuilding, that kind of self-discipline and that... just take no prisoner's attitude of I'm doing this, you know what I mean? No one's gonna outwork me, and that's gonna be it. So whether it's getting this particular intricate part to a click track, or it's, you know, getting that one part of my body, you know, it's just, you know, getting whatever part of my body that I thought was lagging in the last contest to kind of come up, so that, you know, your symmetry's better. I know it sounds ridiculous, but
no, it doesn't.
This is the stuff you think about. This is the stuff you think about when you're in the middle of all that. And
sure,
you know, you get that laser focus, and you know, that's, you can see in the outcome. You can tell when you listen to something or when you look at the end result, the work that went into it. You know, someone did their homework. So
yes,
you know, if someone's winging it, they just kind of get in there and do whatever. You know, you can kind of tell. You know, whether it's, you know, vocals or music or this or that, when it's lacking that, I don't know, that polish, I think. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm all for raw, you know, like a raw kind of, raw, you know, like a raw feel. But, you know, when something's really worked out, there's that polish to it, and it's got a little extra shine.
Of course it does. You know, it stands out. It glows a little bit, you know. It's got this little shiny light, you know. It's like, it's got that moment to it. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
All right. I know. I get your sound effects. I get it.
You get what I'm saying. I appreciate the time you spent with me tonight. I know it's late where you're at because you're an hour ahead. This is not the last time we're talking. You know.
All right, listen, I'm off for whatever.
I in my mind, you know, like I said, after reading the couple of blogs, I almost feel like I need to turn you into something. I'm not quite sure yet. You know. Yes.
So is this like your idea of like just putting the tip in? Is that what this is right here?
I mean, maybe. I don't. It could. I don't know. I mean, I do work in mysterious ways. You know, I am a woman. It's kind of.
All right, I get it. This is like the foreplay to the real. All right.
Absolutely, man. See you get me. You totally get me.
Anytime you want to talk, anytime you want, you know. I'm up for whatever.
I appreciate that, sweetheart. I'm excited for the pain method. I'm excited with what you guys have created, and I'm excited at what's coming. And so you guys always know that if you need something, you know, you've got a place here, you know, on Radio Memphis and Memphis Metal Mondays.
I think it's great, the show you're doing, you know, the kind of eclectic mix of stuff that's on there. I'm just kind of getting exposed to it now. And
cool.
It's great because there's a lot of great music that's not being heard.
Yes,
and you know there's not as much of a venue for it as there used to be. So
yeah,
it's great.
Well, like
so
I said,
I think everybody out there who's you know involved in music or writing stuff or whatever, it's a great. It's an interesting time because there's the mainstream crap that is getting forced down everyone's throat.
Yep.
You know, you can sift through 10 radio stations in my area and hit the same song twice.
Isn't that crazy?
Because you know, it's all the same crap. So, you know, take the influences that you grew up with and turn them into something new. I'm all for influences. And, you know, it's imitation is a form of flattery. And I can hear a lot of influences in what we're doing.
At the same time, it's yours. But I hear that it's yours. You know, and that's different.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. No, that's what you're doing. That's what you guys are going for. That's yours. You know, and you know, anytime you guys
need. Not again. I get this thing looked at.
It's okay. You're here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Okay. All right, we're back.
No, we're back.
We're back.
Whenever you need anything, you guys let me know. Okay, you know.
Thank you so much, Diane. It was really great talking to you.
It's fantastic talking to you. And like I said, this is not the last time. You know, I have a feeling that we're going to have, you know, everybody in at one time. So,
maybe we got to get down there and do some kind of like an in-studio appearance or like play a couple songs or something.
Man, wouldn't that be fantastic? Hell yeah, come on. That would be great. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I've never been to that.
Yeah, so, we'll think about it.
I heard someone told me last night it's the birthplace of rock and blues.
It is.
That's your word.
It is. It's where we breed them here. You know, you have to come get it on you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. Yeah, I'll pass that along. I'm sure, you know, if we're in the area, I would love to come in and you know, if we did a couple acoustic songs or something. You know,
absolutely.
That'd be great.
That would be fantastic, honey. Anytime, you're awesome. Always welcome. Always, always.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, listen, you get you some rest, baby doll. We will talk soon, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much. I hope everyone has a great night, okay?
All right, babe. Thanks.
Take care.
All right. Mr. Rob Yules right here on Radio Memphis, Memphis Metal Mondays. He is the drummer for the Pain Method. And you guys just heard some music from that, man. What do you think there?
It was cool.
Yeah, he's a fan. He's a fantastic guy.
Very well spoken and
yeah, he's done so much. He's done so many different things, I can see how he relates every aspect of his world, you know, based on, you know, one simple thing. And, you know, and if you go look, and yes, I stalked, but if you go look on all of his stuff, I mean, he talks about that. That's his biggest thing is like consistency, sure. Consistency. I mean, whether you're working out, whether you're doing music, whether you're working on a job, whether whatever.
What is it? And like what, you know, the one thing that he said. You know, and any band out there needs to, you know, take heed to what these guys are saying because these aren't the local guy who never made it anywhere, you know, between the guys calling in for the Crin Bar Road Show and everything like that. These guys know what they're talking about. And when, you know, when Rob just said about, you know, when you're, you know, in a band, you know, it's not something that happens in a year. It's something that happens sometimes in 2 years.
Yep.
You know, it's just being consistent and keep doing what you're doing.
Yep.
And if you believe in what you do and you put enough work into what you do,
yep,
it's going to happen. But if you expect it to happen in 6 months, if you expect it to happen in a year,
mm-hmm,
if you expect it to happen because you're playing 20 shows at the same venue, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's not what this is. You know, this isn't a race. It's a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and whether you're trying to be the local cover band, whether you're trying to be an original band, whatever it happens to be.
You got to
put the time and the effort and the work into it. And it, you know, it ends up becoming, you know, like we were talking about it off the air with some of the things that I'm working on, where I need to ask people for help. I hate doing that because I'm not the kind of person, you know this.
No, I know.
We've had this conversation.
We have.
I'm not the kind of person who likes to ask for help. I'll do it myself.
Mm.
You know, but when there's only 24 hours in a day and there's only one of me,
mm-hmm,
and there's 5,000 things that need to be done, you need to ask for help. And when you have a team, you know, which Pain, you know, Pain Method seems to be a good team.
Yep.
You know, you have guys that are working on it. You have guys
they're doing a lot of fantastic things. And you got to remember, these guys are all veterans and stuff like that. They've been part of some massive, you know.
And that's what I mean. You know, by the whole, you know, these aren't guys that are just, you know, the guy playing the same venue you're playing this weekend.
No, they've toured the world.
These guys are doing something.
They have
done something.
They've done a lot of
stuff.
You know,
so when they talk about these things, listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's tough because we talked about, I'm not going to mention any names or anything like that, but we talked about something that happened this past weekend.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're kind of coming up, you got to remember that all the things you're doing are going to be watched by somebody. You know, we've talked about that. We've talked about, you know, even the little things from, you know, what you post on your social media. Excuse me.
Or lack of.
Yeah. If you stick around at a venue.
Right.
After your show while other bands are playing. You know, those kind of things get looked at by people. You know, and it might not be someone that's going to affect you right now, but it's going to be someone that's going to affect you in the future.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so it is that consistency. If you're on a show this weekend and you're playing with four other bands, stick around. You know, be the support.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, if you know this week that you have a show coming up and you haven't posted about it and you haven't gone out and flyered up places, you might want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's Monday, but by Wednesday, people are making their plans for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Go do it all.
Yep.
Go do it all. And of course, you know, the whole thing, you know, about the band, you know me, you know, my tagline, you know, yep, your band is your brand and your business is your business. Absolutely. So hashtag it, you know. And again, I am so thrilled that we got to catch up with Mr. Yules. You guys, check him out.
I know you have pictures of him saved already. And
all he's got to do is sign him and say, you're my queen.
So I should reach out to him.
You know, I got his number, man. I got his personal number, man. I could just text him and go, look, this could go good for you. You know, if you will just do these things for me.
Do these things, I will not stalk you for one whole day.
For a whole day, man. No.
24 hours.
If you look up some of the stuff that he's done and some of the posts and some of the things, all of it, I mean, all kidding aside, is fantastic stuff. And again, it was kind of fun on the little rabbit holes that I went down to find out that, you know, he's got so many things going on.
So here's a question. If he would sign something saying my queen, would that negate someone else saying my queen?
No. I can't say that because that was different. That came from a different place.
I'm not talking about Mover.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm like, dude, the answer was quick and swift hard and fast. No
comment. I'm not commenting.
Yeah, just
no comment.
I'm going to play some more Pain Method for everybody because it's starting to get painful for me right now because I can't breathe and I have to sit there and really think about these things, you know, because I get all distraught. And, you know, all of these men and stuff that we're talking about is like, I feel like it's 50 Shades of Grey. I got to stop.
I'm known for the difficult questions.
Just stop it. This song is called Gone for Good.
So you don't like the prodding?
You know what? I'm done with you. A little more Pain Method for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuned into Memphis Metal Mondays with Dirty D, hanging out with Phil. Thank you again, Mr. Rob Yules, for spending some time with us right here on Radio Memphis and Memphis Metal Mondays.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.